Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
A home team.
And here we go.
All right, so kicking into hour number two, the home team presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, be golden. Chris and Jeff, who has returned. And now the countdown is really on.
It is on.
To July 19th.
Oh, I thought you were talking about to the start of the season.
That's like 74 days from now, if you want to count down to that instead.
Is today June 19th?
Yes.
I'm a month away?
You're a month away. Oh, my gosh. And I believe it's 74 days until September 1.
And in fact, I believe the wedding is at 5:30.
Well, here we are.
So it's almost.
You got just enough time to get through the 5 at 5 and then do your vows.
Hey, got to settle this one up at Let me duck on down. How nervous were you for the big one? I mean, you're a cool operator.
I wasn't that nervous, but I've said like one thing I do when if I get nervous, I used to start where I would just in my head I would just start saying the names of the Killer Bees defense from the Dolphins.
Yeah,
I just
stuff
keep
like
Betters, Better, Betters, Baumhauer, Blackwood, you know.
Mm-hmm. I run through starting lineups in baseball a lot.
Yeah, and that kind of a you know.
Yeah, it can relax.
Get your mind onto something else.
No, it can absolutely relax.
Betters, Baumhauer, Brzezinski, Blackwood, Bud Brown, who was a double B. Of course, A.J. Dewey was on that, but he wasn't one of the killer Bs.
So it was A, because you had Bo Camper. Baumhauer was a nose tackle, right? Betters and Bo Camper were the ends.
Yeah, and then you had the Blackwood brothers.
At safety.
I include Bud Brown, even though he was kind of just like a backup, but his last name was a B, so I always put him in there too.
Lyle and Glenn Blackwood, those guys were tremendous.
Yeah.
But yeah, A.J. Dewey was a standout. Don McNeil was one of the non-Bs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. Yep, that's that Don McNeil.
Yeah.
He was at Alabama. He made the big plays. He went to the Dolphins. He didn't.
John Riggins.
All right, let's get into today's 5 at 5, brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. And Jeff, just to follow up from the U.S. Open, Brooks Koepka was the winner back-to-back. Dave and I discussed yesterday. Now, of all the people currently on planet Earth, there are two who have won the U.S. Open in consecutive years, Curtis Strange and Brooks Koepka. Brooks Koepka. So what is his ceiling now, his major championship ceiling?
Could he win two more? Could he get to four?
See, to me, it's like I think his ceiling is like what he's at it. Like two major championships. Maybe he wins another one and gets to three.
I would think four's the max.
Yeah. I chuckle when he start to – here's a guy who's 28. Now he's got two major championships and he's won back-to-back U.S. Opens. And suddenly, you know, there's this thought that, oh, my gosh, man, this guy's going to win like six or seven majors.
No.
Like, again, McIlroy hadn't won one since 14. And when he won that last one, you know, that for him it was at the point of, oh, well, this is our next challenger to Jack.
Yeah.
Now, if he doesn't win one of these next two, it's going to be 4 years.
That's exactly right. And, you know, a couple of missed opportunities, but, you know, when you're talking about serious contention, yeah, he's been on a couple of leaderboards and, you know, one U.S. Open, the one at Chambers Bay. For a moment, he was in the lead on Sunday when Spieth won. But, I mean, really, since 2014, you know, he's going to be remembered for having a couple of chances to really grab the Masters, and he didn't. And he's going to be remembered for getting hurt and missing the PGA and the British in 2015.
When it looked like the British that year was
his.
That
was his for the taking. Yeah. So it was at St. Andrews. He had won it the year before.
But I mean, soccer.
Yeah, but I go back to even when Spieth had the collapse and Willett won in 16, that Saturday when Spieth, he was counting holes, he was leaking oil on Saturday, I mean, McIlroy that day, I don't think he made a birdie. And Spieth wasn't playing well. They were playing in the final group together. He didn't make a move. Then, obviously, this year, I mean, when he got off to the really good start, but then when he missed the eagle putt on two and then Reed made the birdie on three, then all of a sudden after three holes, he hadn't made up any ground on Reed. I felt at that point that he had lost his chance to win the tournament.
Yeah, I thought when he missed that eagle putt at two, that was an ominous start.
Right.
Because I remember he at one, he got up and down for a par, and you don't do that at one. If you don't hit that green at one, you really don't make par. So for him to do that was like pretty much making a birdie there. But then he really had a shot at on that second hole with that approach he hit, but.
Well,
and gagged.
Then, you know, it looked like, well, he might go eagle par with Reed, and they might be tied. Instead, they go birdie-birdie. And then the next hole, Reed goes birdie, and McIlroy bogeys three. And then all of a sudden, after all that, well, you're back where you started.
Yeah.
That's deflating.
And he was shooting at 80 on Thursday.
Poof.
And was done for.
Wearing all white.
Phil Mickelson. He's a cheater, right?
I still just think he lost his mind. I think he lost his head on it, and
I don't know. That seemed to be like, I mean, he saw it rolling and took off after it. Like, it seemed to be something that he had thought of before.
Well, I mean,
that was premeditated.
It might have been. I mean, he might have said, you know what, if I miss this and this rolls by, I'm just going to get up there and whack it. Anyway, he sliced it. It wasn't a good look.
I wonder what Bones would have thought about that.
He said, what are you doing, man?
Yeah. Because it is like, it's interesting now to watch Phil play the way he and Bones used to communicate.
Yeah.
And like Phil now just, it's his brother who caddies for him, right? Isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
But they don't really talk and, you know, you don't see him, like Phil reads his putts exclusively. I mean, Bones used to always get down there and they were like a team almost, but.
I wonder if Phil got a little jealous of that. It's like, why is this caddy getting some credit?
Maybe.
And by the way, so Phil and Tiger, you know, for all they're just infecting all these good young players, too, that they're playing with.
Yeah. Luckily, Tiger didn't do a whole lot of damage because Dustin Johnson was leading after on Thursday. And, I mean, Justin Thomas didn't play great, but he wasn't out of it.
Yeah, but he was it 15 at Chambers Bay Fowler shot like an 81?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
how about that round Fowler had Saturday?
No doubt. What did he shoot? What did he shoot, 66 Sunday, and then was it 80 Saturday?
Because there's another guy who, going into Saturday, had worked his way in there.
Yeah. You know, he's – it's no guarantee he ever wins a major. It
no,
is not.
And I would still lean toward, at some point he's going to win a major because he is, you know, he's close. But at the same time, I've gotten to where I'm not going to pick him to win any of these majors anymore until I actually see him do it.
Ask most people, who's more famous, Ricky Fowler or Brooks Koepka? Which one's got the two majors?
Ricky Fowler, by far. And Ricky Fowler's in that commercial now where he stole the green.
Stole the green, and he's in another one where it's like a rocket mortgage, I think.
Yeah. He's way more famous than Brooks Koepka.
Way more famous. What is it? What's his career win total? Is it like four or five total tournaments?
If that even. But, I mean,
maybe
one of them
three.
Is he's got the big one in the Players.
Right.
And he did win that Abu Dhabi, which is
that's a big one.
A big one. He won that a couple years ago. Like Tommy Fleetwood's won that, I think, 2 years in a row now.
Fleetwood's, he's going to win a major. I will.
Yeah, I'm going back to that well. In fact, I already got half of my British Open field picked out. I'm going Stenson and Fleetwood next month, and then I'll look at two other guys.
I think it's Matthew. Is it Fitzpatrick,
the
young British player?
Yeah.
He made a little move, too, over the weekend. That kid's really good, too. I believe he'll win a British Open in his career. Fleetwood, I mean, he's got the game.
Yeah, I'm getting to Fleetwood and Stenson. That's half my card for next month. I'll have to come up with two others. Probably Tiger. I think Tiger might be in the mix.
The Nasty. That's where Patty won.
Yeah, that's one of those open courses that you're going to get probably you'll be lucky to be under par.
Jack Nicklaus and Tom Watson both said it's the hardest golf course in the world.
And that's one where it's hard even if the wind isn't blowing.
Yes.
Yeah. Like normally with those opens, you got to have the wind as the line of defense. Otherwise,
which it usually is because they're all right by the sea. But sometimes it just does it.
Yeah. But Carnoustie's pretty tough either way.
Yes, that is. So I will, you know, that's one of those, if people want to argue, I'm like, well, if Jack Nicklaus and Tom Watson say it, I mean.
Yeah.
I'll take their word for it.
Which doesn't bode well for Eldrick.
No. That's where Watson won his first one there in 1975. And, of course, you had the nobody knows Paul Laurie, but everybody knows Jean Vandeveld.
Yes, we do. Like, Jean Vandeveld is way more famous than Paul Laurie.
Way more.
Yeah. And one of those guys won a major and the other did not.
And Justin Leonard was in the playoff, which that has to be one. Justin Leonard was a fine player. He's got to be thinking, that's one I should have had.
Well, kind of like how Ernie lost to, was it Todd Hamilton?
Hamilton. It's like, ugh, that's one I should have had.
Yeah. But, again, that all speaks to, like, all these guys even currently that are young and they start winning these majors. And then you think of these other great players that should all have more than they do. I mean, including, by the way, like Phil.
Phil's got five, should probably have at least seven or eight.
Right. So it's just, you know, you look at the age of these guys and think like, oh, of course he's going to win more majors. Mm-hmm. But to me, if you ask me with Brooks Koepka, I'm like, two's probably the number of majors he's going to have.
I mean, the over-under on him, the smart one would be either 2.5 or 3.5.
Yeah, and I would take the under in both of those.
I'd take – I would see – I could see him maybe winning a PGA.
But I would take the under 3.5. I don't think he wins more than 3.
I would, too. Yeah. I agree. But, I mean, think about this. You mentioned Ernie Els. The guy was one of the great players of all time. I mean, he's a top 25, 30 player ever. Won the U.S. Open in 94 and 97 and won two Open championships in 02 and in 2012 and had a lot of near misses. The guy has been, you know, world renowned in the 90s and the 2000s for two decades. He's one of the best players in the world. He won four majors. Raymond Floyd won his first major in the late 60s, won his last one in the 80s. Guy won four major championships. Guy was in the top 10 for 15, 20 years, won four.
Yeah,
Ernie
well, I mean, Norman.
Won four.
Norman won two. And he was the number one player in the world for
a long time.
Yeah, basically between Jack and Tiger, wasn't he?
Well, you had between Watson's heyday and Tiger.
And Tiger,
there was that loss after Watson won his eighth major in '83, and then between Tiger in '97, you know, Faldo won six in there. But he was on the European tour. You know, Norman seemed to be the more – that would be another one. Who won more majors, Nick Faldo or Greg Norman? Norman won six. I'm sorry, Faldo won six. Norman won two.
Yeah, well, including one – Faldo snatched one from Norman, too.
Sure did. But that was a thing, too. But the most Norman-esque thing, and this is why I thought of Dustin Johnson, was in 1995 when Corey Pavin beat him at the U.S. Open, and Norman probably had 10 putts in that Sunday round that missed by an inch or two. Norman had won his two prior tournaments and won the next week at Hartford. I mean, that, to me, that is Dustin Johnson.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty much a carbon copy. We've seen it before with Norman, and now you got it. You're living it again.
Now, his scar tissue, it's not to the level that Norman's was. It's just the bad luck. Again, to have Tway and Mize in back-to-back majors, that's brutal.
Well, it probably isn't easy either. His father-in-law is like one of the all-time winners in sports.
Yeah.
Gretzky.
The great – I mean, when your nickname is the great one.
Yeah. That's like, I don't even know if Gretzky can even relate to feeling the failure that Dustin Johnson does. But
because when they lost the cup, I think it was the Islanders last of the four straight in 83. They beat Edmonton. I don't think Edmonton won four straight after that. So,
yeah.
Or three or four, three in a row, whatever it was. But, yeah, he, again, when your nickname is the great one.
Right.
That's.
You're like, father-in-law, tell me about losing. Like, what are you talking about?
I don't know. He's like, I was MVP at age 19. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're feeling. You didn't do too bad. You shot a 70 in the final round of the U.S. Open.
Now, what's the story with him? Did he meet Janet Jones? Was she a dancer on, like, Star Search when he was a guest judge?
I believe that's right, yes.
So, I mean, that's just to me. And Edmonton's a great hockey town. What he did there, those the Oilers teams, or the Eskimos of football, were so great. I mean, yeah, you had Messier and Yari Curry and Paul Coffey and Grant Fuhrer, but I just got to think for Gretzky. Yeah, you know, he was a handsome guy, best player ever. He got down to L.A. for Star Search and saw about 20 Janet Joneses out there. It's like, yeah.
That's the thing, the greatest hockey player ever. We stole from Canada, and he ended up in, of all places,
L.A.
Los Angeles.
It's like, yeah. Did he go to the Rangers?
No,
or
no. The Islanders?
The
no.
Bruins?
The Flyers?
No.
Nope. He went to L.A.
Yeah.
The Kings.
That was one of those things. Like, I remember when I was a kid, that surprised me, and now looking back on it, I'm like, it all goes back to that Star Search deal.
Yeah. Goes back to Janet Jones.
It's like, whoa.
Yep.
There are not too many girls that look like her in Edmonton.
No. And the ones that were from Canada, they came here too, like Pam Anderson.
True.
Yeah.
Plus, it's also, you know, not 20 below zero.
Not in L.A. No, it's not. It's not here either. Boy, it's just.
It's hot.
Yeah.
I was gone 3 days. I could feel the humidity last night. We walked outside the airport.
When you get up in the morning, it looks like it's rained with all the dew on the grass and the bushes.
I agree.
All right, moving on to the 5 at 5, Jeff. Georgia defensive line recruiting. Another one gets away yesterday with C.J. Clark saying he's going to go to NC State. Should we be worried about the defensive line recruiting right now? I mean, we don't have anything else to worry about this summer because the team was exceptional last season, and we feel pretty good about this upcoming year. So normally we're worried about the season, but we're all feeling pretty good about the season. So now, you know, what do we have to complain about? That new scoreboard I know people don't like, and now you've got the defensive linemen. We just can't seem to get to commit here.
Well, I think here's the deal, big picture with the D-line. Feel confident Georgia will get Trayvon Walker, who's the number one defensive lineman in the state. Bill Norton, who's a really big guy from Memphis, is already committed. And there are a couple of other big names out there. Certainly Derek Hunter from down in Florida is a big name that Georgia really, really wants. And if Tramell Walltower can come back and do basically what Devontae Wyatt did, I think that's your core of the defensive line right there. And there's probably another late bloomer coming around out there that George would like to scoop up because Kirby is really looking big on size. I know all schools are, but he is really, you know, he's following that footprint there, that blueprint there. And I would think there'll be a player to just looking at how the numbers play out that Georgia could flip if the Dogs need to. So I think it's one of those things. And I'll admit, when I saw yesterday, I got a little antsy, but I think kind of
– You've been talked down?
Yeah. Would you feel better if a lot of these names were committed? That's where recruiting is tricky. Because really all we know, unless you really get out there and go to games, and really all we know is what you see on the lists.
Yeah, and then you could see, I mean, the experts have their crystal balls, and you look at some percentages. And I guess with Clark, I mean, the lean was he was going to go to NC State. So far, the one that's been a bit of a shock was Jalen Humphreys all of a sudden out of nowhere committing to Florida a couple of weeks ago.
Now, there's also a chance that Georgia could flip him. But you know how these things go. It's prioritized. Let's say you've got a list of 12 guys you want at this position, and you've got, let's say six slots available for new guys plus Walltower. So if number 11 or 12 wants to kind of jump in there and you think you got a really good shot at, say, 1 through 5 and 7, 8, and 10, sometimes you just got to play the game. And then maybe if things don't go great, you call late.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's the one thing.
I was often Kathy Ireland's standby.
If
a movie star couldn't go, she always knew she had
you were
me.
The body double for whoever.
Right. So I was. I might have been verbally committed to my girlfriend of 1992.
Right. But she could have flipped you.
But if Kathy called.
Right. Okay.
I mean, I was going to go there.
Yeah. Well, I would like to think, and we do have that recent track record of flipping commitments from prominent schools, that even in the case of Clark, I mean, if we've been able to switch guys from Florida, Michigan, Bama, Tennessee,
Ohio State,
NC State might not be too tough if need be.
Yeah, so I think just kind of trust in Kirby and all that. But because again, we're just going off of what we're seeing on lists on paper. If Rashad Chaney, Jalen Humphries, C.J. Clark were all committed, would we feel better right now?
Well, yeah.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
But Kirby might go out and get three guys better than that, or might get two better and then get one of those guys to flip.
So who should be freaking out more, Georgia fans about defensive tackles or Falcons fans about Julio Jones?
I don't think either should be freaking.
Okay. I think it's funny, like, with Terrell Owens. Like, that's Julio's working out with Terrell Owens.
Oh, well, that's not good.
But, you know, you say that, though, but I'm like, wait a second.
He's crazy.
He's a Hall of Fame wide receiver, though.
Yeah, who's not going to his induction ceremony. I mean, come on, T.O.'s nuts. We all know that.
But I mean, if you're learning,
he's a great player.
If you're learning how to play wide receiver, like,
I think Julio's better than T. Let me tell you one problem. T. A guy dropped a lot of balls.
He's a Hall of Fame receiver.
I'll say I would bet you my pitiful paycheck that we'll get on Friday, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Terrell Owens dropped more passes than any wide receiver in the Hall of Fame. I would bet you that paycheck of like $50.
All right.
He dropped a lot of balls. And we've seen a lot of guys in record books who have dropped passes, or defensive backs with interceptions who've gotten burned a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how. I mean,
I'd take Julio over T.O.
Yeah, I would too. But the idea of, like, him working out with Owens, it's not like, you know, Owens is a Hall of Fame wide receiver.
That would worry me if I was a Falcons fan.
Although, as you point out, he's not actually attending his ceremony.
Hey, anybody who wears a T-shirt of his mom on national TV with a picture of his mom on there, then when he was out doing sit-ups with no shirt on.
That's the thing. I want to see Julio do that. When it gets to that stage with Julio that he's doing sit-ups in his driveway, I'm going to be worried about him. But I'm telling you, there is tension there. All is
there
not
is.
Well between the Falcons and Julio Jones. But on the bright side, Julio is approaching age 30. So when things really start to go sideways, he might be on the downside of his prime anyhow. But if Atlanta could just kind of hang on for the next season or two with him, they'll be all right.
No, because I would say he's got 2-3 more years in his prime and then another couple of years where he'll be good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Jeff, finally, we'll wrap up today's 5 at 5. Now that all of the first group matches at the World Cup have been played, all four semifinalists from 4 years ago are winless, with the Germans actually losing to Mexico. So, who is the favorite to win the World Cup right now?
All right, I picked Brazil. You picked Germany.
I did?
Yeah, before the tournament, didn't you?
No, I don't remember. Did I pick Germany?
Backtrack.
I think I did, yes. I did. You're right. I did pick Germany.
Argentina did not. I mean, Messi missing the PK.
You know, Argentina is like, basically, they're like the Cavaliers. Like,
yeah.
They're outside of Messi, they're like a lousy team.
Right.
And I think Portugal is kind of the same way.
And Ronaldo had the hat trick.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. If you were going to pick a team that's never won the World Cup, yeah, do so at your own peril. Could the Dutch do it this year?
They're not in it.
So no.
But you're thinking of Belgium.
Belgium, because they were a semifinalist 4 years ago. Or was that the Dutch?
No, 4 years ago it was
Germany, Brazil, Argentina.
Argentina and Spain.
Okay.
No, is that right?
Maybe the Dutch
were, and the Dutch aren't even in
Ooh,
it. Yeah.
Because they've got the nice kits,
yeah.
The orange. Could England do it?
I know England won yesterday, but they should have had like 5 or 6 goals, and they strike me as being kind of – they're chokers.
But picking a World Cup winner, you've got to go out of the list of teams that have won it.
Hasn't Uruguay?
Twice.
Very
early. I will stick with Brazil because I will say I watched the match the other day, Sunday morning. They had a lot of really good looks that just didn't go
Brazil.
In. Brazil.
Okay.
So
I think Neymar is hurt now.
Well, that's not good.
Yeah, Neymar leaves Brazil training after brief return.
So who is
got to keep an eye on him.
But the thing is that they should be good enough to still get to the knockout round. Then is he healthy to play?
I'm going to go with Belgium to win it. Belgium or France.
So you're going Western Europe.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe this is one, though, with all the – because Spain and Portugal tied, and with Germany losing and Argentina and Brazil tying. Maybe this, could we have a first-time winner this year, or could it be England's year? It's been since 1966.
Well, let's not count out the Russians. They've won their two games 8-1.
I would not count out the Russians either for several reasons.
Yeah, by a combined 8-1. They won 5-0 and then 3-1 today.
With that sports checkered history and where they're playing.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't want to referee one of their matches that they lose. I know that. And if I did, I wouldn't eat or drink anything.
Would you like an apple, Chris?
Yeah, no, I would not. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Putin. All right, there's the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.